gripped my heart for a while, and the next few weeks when I'm preaching, I'm going to be speaking on the kingdom of God. Each talk will stand alone, and it's a very interesting topic, and one that I hope and pray will bless us this morning and into the future. But my prayer actually is that we would actually encounter God when speaking. I don't just want to talk, although talking is great, but I actually want you to surrender your heart right now, afresh, to hear from Holy Spirit. Because I love talking, I love explanation, I love theology, but when all those things just stand alone without an encounter, without an experience, what we're left with is just ideas. And ideas are great, just like talking is great, just like theology is great, but you need the Spirit of God to transform you. I need the Spirit of God to transform me. So just bear that in mind as I'm speaking. The main passage I want to look at today is actually just a verse, a couple of verses actually, in Mark 1, verse 14 and 15. And this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. Mark writes, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he was saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" This is Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry is the kingdom of God. This is the reason why Jesus came, is to declare the kingdom of God. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And he says in Matthew's gospel, he uses the term kingdom of heaven because it's translated for a Jewish audience. It's the same thing. They're interchangeable. Kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. And to understand this subject, I believe it's helpful to know that we are now living in the age of what many scholars, teachers, and theologians, and many other people believe that we are in an age for the now and not yet. We are currently living in today, this moment, in the age of the now and the not yet. It's now, because we know that Jesus has come in the incarnation, God in the flesh, fully God, fully man, to walk this earth, to preach and teach and declare the kingdom of God, to do all he did, live, die, rise from the dead, and he went to be with the right hand of the Father, leaving us the Holy Spirit in this age. We have Holy Spirit in this age. But not yet, because you and I both know, we all know, that we are not seeing the absolute fullness of God's kingdom here on the earth. Believers in Christ have tasted what it's like. We've experienced God, we've read his word, we've had our hearts open to the truth about God, the truth about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's not yet, because we know that we're not seeing the absolute fullness of God's reign. And it's helpful to know that. Because sometimes in Western thinking, we can think it's one or the other. But actually, in Hebraic thinking, they're quite comfortable with living in tensions of things that appear to be opposite, but are actually as one. For example, I'm a husband and a father, but it's still me. And so we're in the now and the not yet. So those two things can coexist. And the now that we've got is, we are saved, and we are in God's kingdom. We are at one with Christ. But the not yet is, what's going to happen? This is what I believe, and many other scholars believe, this is what I think. That when Jesus returns, every Christian who's died will rise from the dead and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. on this earth. In that time, in those 1,000 years, when Jesus Christ is, he will be on earth in his body, reigning with us, immortals. After the 1,000 years, all those people who actually, people are still going to be living, born and dying in that time. Some will receive Jesus, some won't, even though Jesus is here in his body. After that time, there will be what was the second resurrection, which is Jesus' resurrection, the first resurrection, then the second one, when all of us are going to be raised. And that's when we taste the fullness of the age to come, when we spend eternity staring at Jesus and how awesome he is, and doing all the other things that we're going to be doing. So that's what you've got to look forward to. And what is interesting about that 1,000 years is that Jesus will be on the earth in his body, ruling with us immortals, but people will still reject him. And we just find that absurd. How could anybody reject Jesus when he's in his body, when he's here on the earth, with us? There will be people who are born into that reality, and it will be normal for them that Jesus Christ is in his body, ruling on the earth. It will be completely normal for them that there will be a load of immortals hanging around like us, and all those immortal guys, that's us. But it won't be weird, because that's what they're born into. Feast on that. It's awesome. When Jesus declared the kingdom of God is at hand, what is he talking about? What is the kingdom of God? It's his main teaching. What is it? Jean Glad, a theologian, wrote this. The kingdom of God is his kingship, his rule, his authority. When this is once realized, we can go through the New Testament and find passage after passage where this meaning is evident. Where the kingdom is not a realm, the kingdom is not a people, the kingdom of God is God's reign. It includes a realm, a geographical location. It includes people, but ultimately the kingdom of God is God's reign. So when Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus is saying the rule of God is here. In this age we're living in, Jesus has come from eternity into this time and space. God has come into this time and space and said, enough is enough. The kingdom of God is here. The rule of God is here. The rebellion of the angels, Satan's rule, is over. That's what he's saying when he says the kingdom of God is here, the rule of God. Roger Forster says the kingdom of God is not the people, it is the authority of God achieving God's will on earth as it is in heaven by the release of power through his people. If you notice, after Jesus preaches this, he goes around casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead. Because he said the kingdom of God is here, the rule of God is here. This age you're in, where Satan has been ruling, I'm now intervening into history, into time and space, and saying this is enough is enough. Which is why he did all those things. Because God doesn't like evil. God is committed to eliminating all that hinders love. All that hinders love. In the fullness of the age to come, we'll just be living in love. Like God's presence. It'll be amazing. When he was preaching the kingdom of God at hand, Jesus was preaching to ancient Israel. They were awaiting Messiah. They were absolutely desperate for a savior. They were so intense, they were desperate for a savior because they needed one. They'd been dispersed, they were in trouble, and they needed a savior. Does that ring a bell with anyone? We're desperate for a Savior. We're desperate for the fullness of God's rule to come. Israel, Jewish people, thought that God's rule was going to bring absolute political and military dominance. They thought when Jesus came and started saying the rule of God is here, they were expecting, well, could this be the Messiah? And they were expecting military dominance and elimination of the Roman Empire and just to see an end to all of that. But they didn't get what they expected. Even John the Baptist, who proclaimed the kingdom before Jesus, he was saying, he was proclaiming who Jesus is, proclaiming the kingdom. He was in prison when Jesus was around healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead. And he actually asked his friends to ask Jesus, are you really the one, or is there another? Because we're not seeing the justice that you promised. We're not seeing it. And Jesus answers, blessed is he who takes no offense at me. Blessed is he who takes no offense at me. You see, John the Baptist's problem was, it was how can Jesus be the bearer of the kingdom while sin, sinful institutions remain unpunished? Have you ever asked that question? How is it that Jesus is king and sin is dominant over this world? How is it that Jesus is king and yet we see so much destruction and chaos and horror in the world? How is it that Jesus is king? I mean, I've been in many positions where I'm looking at something in the natural that doesn't mar up in my mind, doesn't line up in my mind with Jesus being here. I wonder if you've ever been in the same position. You're looking at someone. My most recent experience, I'm looking at a body, a loved one, crushed by disease. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, Jesus, are you king? Are you king? Or am I to expect another? And I felt drawn to that verse where he said, blessed is he who takes no offense at me. Because we cannot afford to be offended by Jesus and his ways. Because his ways are not our ways. If it was left to you and I to come up with a scheme to eliminate evil, we would have thought more guns, more power, more people, more exposure. We need people here, we need a team, we need more, we need action. That's what we need to eliminate evil. God, on the other hand, says, no. I'm going to give you my son, and he's going to be crucified. That is going to eliminate evil. So what do we do living in this age where we're thinking Jesus is coming back, his wisdom is so vast. How are we supposed to engage in this? How are we supposed to live? Gene Lamb said, what Jesus meant was, talking about who he takes no offense. Yes, the kingdom of God is here, but there is a mystery. A new revolution about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is here, but instead of destroying human sovereignty, it has attacked the sovereignty of Satan. The kingdom of God is here, but instead of making changes in the external political order of things, it is making changes in the spiritual order and the lives of men and women. It's making changes in the spiritual order. See, Jesus came from the age to come, in eternity, and he steps into this time and place and says, God's rule is here, and it's the beginning of the end of Satan's rule, which is the heart of the problem. But I ask you this question. Has God left us in the now to simply wait for his return? Now, I have my hope in Jesus' return. We all have our hope in Jesus' return, but has he just left us here with fire insurance? Is that it? We're saved, we're in the kingdom, we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're covered by the blood, and thank Jesus for that forever. But has he abandoned us? Has he left us here to simply wait and talk about the time to come? I can't wait for the time to come, because when I'm looking at these bodies crushed, when I'm looking at other people shooting and killing, I'm thinking of it, it doesn't matter because Jesus is coming back. Is that it? I don't think it is. I believe that God is opening up a taste of the age to come. I believe he's opening up a taste of the age to come. He's already opened up a taste of the age to come by sending Jesus. He's opened up a taste of the age to come by sending his Holy Spirit. And these days, this day now, here and now, the naked now, he's opening up his kingdom for those who will receive his rule over their lives. Access to the kingdom of God, access to the rule of the age to come, is achieved by surrendering to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Not just Savior. There's too many Christians who've got Jesus as Savior, praise God for that, but don't have him as Lord. I thought, when I became a Christian and I had Jesus as my Savior, I thought that was enough. And it's enough for fire insurance. But it's not enough to engage in bringing the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. What you and I need is a fresh revelation of lordship over our lives. And it's not fashionable speak today, is it? As you go into question time, so the answer actually is if you all make Jesus your Lord, they're all going to go, "Hey!" No, they're not. You've only got to be someone who's a Christian and let's get hit. Bless them, love them, free them, Father. It's not popular speak like lordship or surrender, but what it is actually cooperation with what God is already doing. That's what having Jesus as Lord is. Don't let the enemy or the world or your own self be deceived into thinking that having Jesus as Lord is somehow a bad deal. Having Jesus as Lord is bliss. Do we often think of the cost? Yeah, well, if I do that, then I'm going to lose this or I'm going to lose that. The biggest cost is losing what he has for your life. That's the cost. And it does cost. It's painful. Day after day, you have to choose the right things. Many times I get up in the morning and there's no part of me wants to sit before the Lord. But I say, flesh, you're going in there. And you're getting under that pressure of symbolizing acceptance, and you're reading your Bible, and you're putting your sacred music on, and you're going to shut up and do what the Lord says. And when I do that, I wonder why I don't just wake up and run down and go, woohoo! Well, if I just forget what's coming. Acceptance. Having Jesus as Lord is acceptance into the kingdom. It's what we're all after. We all want to belong. But we need Holy Spirit to do this. We need Holy Spirit. It's like when I first came to pass Jesus, all I could say was, I found Jesus. I submitted my life to Jesus. I surrendered my life to Jesus. But as I moved on in my life, I realized He found me. When you surrender to Jesus as Lord afresh, you discover that you are stepping in to what He's already doing. We love Him because He first loved us. And what I want to do this morning is I want us to receive a fresh revelation of Holy Spirit. That's what I want. I believe that's what the Lord wants. If you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, I urge you from the bottom of my heart, human to human, friend to friend, you would give your life to Jesus. So I just want everybody to just bow their heads right now. I'd love to give people the opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God. If there's anybody here who isn't sure that when Jesus comes back again, that they're not sure that He'll know who they are as a son, I'd just like you to raise your hand. Often we think about the receiving of salvation is just for people who don't know Jesus. Salvation is not just a one-time event coming to a relationship with Jesus. Salvation is the continuing work of God in your life. The healing, the deliverance. So if you feel like you need a refreshment of Holy Spirit, I'd just like you to stand if you can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Friends, the wind of the Spirit is coming. And it's coming quietly. And it's coming for those who will look, who will seek. The reward of the kingdom is coming for those who seek Him. The Father seeks those. Sorry, the Father rewards those who seek Him. Come refresh us, Lord. Just be in a safe place. Stand if you can, if you want to see, or you can just sit, it's fine. There's no pressure, it's just a declaration of I want to receive from you, Jesus. Standing up and saying, I want you, Jesus. I don't just want you as a Savior, I want you as everything. I want you as my Lord. I want you as my Savior, thank you. I want you as my Lord. I want you to have rule and dominion over my life. I want to know what you're up to, Lord. I want to know what's happening. I want to know what you have for me in this world. I want you to know.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to know, Lord, when Jesus declared his kingdom manifesto, he said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. And Father, I pray for an anointing of the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. We know you are Lord.
Thank you.
Jesus raised from the dead, he came and stood in the midst of the disciples, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." He came and stood in the midst. He walked through walls. He walked through doors. He has more for us. And I'm convinced this morning, just to re-emphasize that as we make him the Lord of our lives, he reveals to us that he's already working in our lives. And it's the key and the door to open us to new things. Isaiah the prophet said, "Behold, I'm doing something new. Do you perceive it?" And as a friend and a brother, I'm so urging myself to look deeper, to seek more. Because looking at this day and age, it's not enough to do this on our own. We're going to glory. We can't wait. We can't wait till this war is over. But while we're here, we have a mission. Through the Lordship of Christ, we can proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to this world. But it's going to take Holy Spirit. So just keep receiving now. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the things you're doing. Thank you for the things you're going to do. Jesus says to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." And you are being sent out from this place today. This is not just for now. It's for also not yet. It's for this time tomorrow. It's for Wednesday lunchtime. It's for Thursday morning when you can see the weekend coming. Because what you do out there matters. When you're sat at your desk, or behind the wheel, or at home with the children, wherever you're at, wherever, what you do matters. We're a royal priesthood. But we can't do this on our own. We do this as a group. And now is the time to continue receiving from the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to close the service now, officially. But it's my job for me to carry on praying. And I can invite anyone else who wants to come up to the front and pray with me. And we'll let God do what he does best, and that's love on people. But that's ultimately what it's going to be. It's him. And he is love. So Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your kingdom. I thank you for the rule of you over our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you reveal to us that the measure by which we have you as Lord is the measure by which we will experience the provision from the age to come. All by your Spirit, all by a gift. Don't strain to receive it. Just receive.